Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. And this is getting to be a really interesting show because we're having so much interference. Obviously, this information is something that, the powers that were, I must say, do not want out. But anyway, it's been quite interesting. My computer is doing so many great, it's finally straightened out. Bios were jumping all over the page, everything. It's pretty crazy. So comes with the territory, and we just keep flowing with it. So anyway, tonight's show, we've got Jason Gleaves, and he spent 11 years in the UK Royal Air Force and is now the author of the newly released book, UFO Photos, Computer Analysis of Worldwide UFO Images Through the Decades. He recently analyzed posts and footage of UFOs taken at East City Ranch. His detailed analysis is now available on our YouTube channel. And that's East City Stargate, the official channel, if you want to check that out. And upon analyzing the images, Jason was amazed at the high detail he gained from enhancement methods applied and is excited about how analyzing UFO footage will continue to reveal more details as technology and software improve. His Facebook and YouTube channels, UFO Only document, and many of his, that documents many of his enhanced reports. He's also had strange sightings throughout his life and military career. His first UFO sighting happened at the age of 7 near Antrim Racecourse. Good. I have the whole bio here now. I was trying to read between the lines before. And that's in Liverpool, where he and his sister saw a bright silver disc-shaped object outside the window of the room they were playing in. It hung motionless as they stared at it in amazement before it disappeared at high velocity. We'll talk more about his own experiences throughout the show and what his enhancement techniques have revealed, about sightings such as the battleship-sized UFO witnessed at RAF Gosford in March of 1993, the civilian Argentine pilot double buzzed by two disc-shaped UFOs who filmed the encounter with his mobile phone, and also the historical event at Battle Over Los Angeles during 1942, witnessed by thousands of people and fired upon by the military without resulting in any effect to the UFO. So without any further ado, Jason, welcome to the show.
Hi, James. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Yeah, this is quite interesting. I've never seen this before. It's solid now, but your bio was jumping all over the place, and I could only read the whole side of it was cut off, and so I had to kind of wing it to get through the bio. But anyway, it's pretty amazing. This is a common occurrence. We have three DSL lines and some other ways of getting out on the show. And all three of our DSL lines, somebody went in there and changed the codes. And so we couldn't even connect. So that was done at the server. And this is an ongoing thing here. It's just unbelievable. But, when you're doing the work, you're going to get the interference. So the more the interference, the more you're doing the work. So it's actually a compliment, when these things happen. But you've got some amazing, you've checked out some amazing footage in the past, and this battleship-sized UFO witnessed by many at the RAF Gosford in March of 1993. I'd like to hear more about that.
Yeah, the sighting at RAF Gosford, it's quite a big sighting, really, sort of, not very well, because in the UK, when people talk about UFO sightings and encounters and cases, Reynolds and Forrest is always the one that comes to mind first. Cosford's probably as big as what happened at Rendlesham. The sighting happened in March 1993 and was witnessed by numerous people throughout the UK that night by on-duty policemen and witnesses all over the country. But the sighting happened at RAF Cosford, where it was RAF Cosford is a training camp, so there's a lot of young trainees there who were obviously new into the Air Force, and part of their training they have to do guard duty there on the base like everybody else. But this young trainee was on the airfield guard post, and the actual picture of the guard post hut is on the front of the book, actually, that I've just brought out, and inside there are actual photographs of it. And he basically witnessed a huge black triangle-shaped UFO craft that came down over the airfield, and he described it the size of a battleship, so you can guess how big it was. It went from RAF Cosford to a nearby other Air Force base, RAF Shawbury, where the on-duty air traffic controller, they actually got a radar lock on it. And also they witnessed lasers or something of that kind that were coming out the bottom of the craft. And the air traffic controller who was on duty, his impression was that the craft was actually looking for something. So, yeah, it was seen quite, you know, through a lot of witnesses throughout the country, credible witnesses. And then obviously Nick Pope, who was the on duty, you know, working for the MOD at the time on the British X-Files desk in Whitehall. He had involvement the day after with it as well.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of things happening over there, especially with all the crop circles and all the orbs flying around, you know, over the crop circles and things of that nature. You've got now you also have some footage from a civilian Argentine pilot and some video where the ship, I guess, double buzzed. He was double buzzed by two disc-shaped UFOs, and I'd like to hear more about that. That analysis as well.
Yeah, that was a interesting sighting, really. It was an Argentinian pilot, civilian pilot, and he'd actually seen craft before. Obviously, he couldn't record or photograph them because he didn't have a camera or his phone with him at the time. But he took his mobile phone with him this time, thinking he would see something again, which he did. The footage is actually on my UFO page, which is on Facebook and all other media. But the video is actually on my YouTube channel, and it's much better than the actual photographs that you can see in the book. Mm-hmm. It was worth putting it into the book for the fact that I analysed the photographs, took frames from the actual footage and analysed those. But if you can see the actual raw footage itself, it's quite damning, really, that these two craft come from his left-hand side. I think it was his Leo's. His left-hand side actually flew right in front of his aircraft, dangerously close, and then did a large arc-shaped flight path, which flew back again in front of his aircraft, which you can see on the video really clearly. And then they're traveling at high velocity, and it's dangerously close for an aircraft.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you know if they experienced any anomalies with their instruments when this ship buzzed them?
No, I don't. I don't have an awful lot of information regarding the actual pilot himself and everything, but it's quite possible, because over past cases, military and civilian, I have encountered the dials and the altimeters and everything, you know, anomalies happening with those.
Yeah, we've seen that you can't tell. It was at night, you know, it's probably an F-15, F-16, we're not sure. But come right up on a UFO, and they had their lights on and their afterburners burning. It was loud, and they're coming right up on this UFO. And we could see the plane and the UFO both, and it just disappeared. It vanished, not a sound. You couldn't hear anything. And the next day we had quite a few. they looked like, oh, their F-16s came over. And they kept circling the ranch, and you could tell they're trying to find their buddy, you know, what happened to their buddy. And we got all that on film. We got the jet disappearing and the other F-16s coming over and circling the ranch. And then we interviewed the witnesses that were there at the time as well. You know, so this is a pretty common thing. I know there's been a lot of encounters out there where planes have actually just disappeared. There wasn't any explosion or anything. It just vanished. I think they beamed it on or something. I don't know what happened. Wow. But we have that happen quite a bit. What's the best way for people to see that footage again? What's your YouTube channel?
It's just UF Only, which is on Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus. It's on all the different mediums out there. But there is a YouTube channel with that on. There must be over 100 different videos of orbs and all kinds of things that I've analyzed. So,
great. Now they've got you have another one, the Battle Over Los Angeles, that you analyzed, and I think that was 1942, and it was witnessed by thousands of people and fired upon, you know, by the military without resulting in any effect, you know, whatsoever. So, what did you take from that analysis?
Well, that analysis really is an old case, and many people in ufology, when looking at cases or anything to do with the UFOs in general, generally come across that case with it being so old and so many witnesses who actually saw the craft. And I just thought, really, the way I was conducting the analysis of photographs and images, I'd start to go back over old known cases that people have seen before and see if I can come up with new evidence to actually prove what the craft is, which you can actually see in the book. I have managed to bring out more detail of the craft because the original pictures that you see of it are just generally an illuminated sort of disc-shaped object with floodlights, searchlights on it. So you can't really make out what the craft is, but when I actually analysed it in more detail, you can see an awful lot more detail in there, which you can see in the book.
Now, I know that, you know, if you look at this is 1942. I don't know how far along we were with our back engineering stuff. For what I've talked to inside people, you know, in the certain agencies that we don't talk about, you know, that have this Area 51 folks and things like that, and the secret space fleet and things, those soldiers, I've talked to some of them, and pretty much they all agree that somewhere in the mid to late 60s that we had the technology to go back and forth to the moon or Mars, or we had back engineered all this technology. And so we didn't have anything back then, you know, nothing, not in the 40s. I know the Germans were building some things, working on some projects. I'm not sure how far along they were. I think that was in the 30s. They were starting to build some things. But I know this was definitely not something that we had. And I really don't think it was something they had either. It seems to be something altogether different.
Yeah, definitely. And it was actually fired upon by the American military for quite a few hours, and they actually fired quite a lot of shells at this object, and it didn't move at all. There was no damage, and actually civilians were killed because of the fallout and things, you know, from the shrapnel and off the shells. So it's interesting, and it's to this day people still don't know what the origin of the craft was.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, because I know even the stuff the Germans built, if they were firing on it to the degree that they were firing on it, it probably would have come down, you know, more than likely. You know, they didn't have those, probably definitely off-world technology or some very advanced technology. Now, you've been doing some analysis on some of the footage that I know Peter sent you first. I mean, that's how we got in touch with Peter from ESETI. Australia.org down there, and he's got some footage now that is, I think it's the top of the top right now. I haven't seen anything like it as clear, where it actually shows the definition of the ship. And and these are physical ships, you know. He's got tons of light ships as well. But maybe you could talk about some of the footage that you've analyzed, you know, some of Peter's work.
Yeah, well, there's Peter Maxwell Slattery in Australia, and Soloretta, his partner. Amazing. And the footage they've been releasing, really, it sort of got my attention straight away. I do class them up in the top 1% probably of sightings throughout the world at the minute. It's just the way it's put across to everybody. You know, he doesn't understand a lot himself, which you don't. You know, when you see things, you're trying to answer a lot of questions. And I came across Peter, really, through Mary Rodwell first, where he was having treatment with her. I think it was via a Skype call or something. And I sort of followed him, and then it just seemed to take off. I sort of got more into depth of his sightings and then the entities which he was filming. And when I actually analysed the photographs, the detail that would come out was amazing.
And all the information was on the photographs too, to show that, you know, it wasn't enhanced or altered or changed anyway.
Yeah, nothing at all. And really, that's what makes me sit up when I see things that haven't been changed or analyzed, or third or fourth generation photographs. What I mean by that is, if you have the original photograph and you repost the photograph on some sort of media, Facebook or whatever, you lose the quality in the photograph, the generations of the photographs, and it becomes harder to analyze and get the detail out. And lucky enough, I've managed to get hold of the original source photographs, so it's really helpful.
Yeah, we have boxes. We have boxes and boxes of mini DVDs with footage on them, and just don't have the time or the expertise to go through these. It's like a full time job to do that. But the good news is that it's not like you're trying to prove something that happened in the past. It's still ongoing. So we keep getting better and better footage and closer footage, so nothing's lost on that. But I know some of the, you know, when I met Peter and Solrita, I realized that these, I realized they were very high integrity people, and also very gifted, you know, a lot of it's just trying to figure this thing out, because there's really no information or reference points to figure out these events when they start unfolding. And you just got to kind of go with whatever you got. And they're a perfect team, you know, because Sarita is very gifted as far as spiritually. And she gets information that helps balance out. And he is as well. But what you can't deny there is one, I know them very well. They're very good friends of mine, and I know their integrity levels are off the scale. They would never try to fake anything or do anything like that. And two, I went and spent a couple months down there in Australia with them, and I saw things just, you know, right in their own backyard. We'd walk out at night in their backyard, these ships would come right over the house, just one after another. And, you know, I just said, I go, boy, this is just like my front field here almost. And and so we went traveling, and everywhere we went, we had ships following us. And every conference, every talk we did, we had ships. And we had drones and black helicopters as well, kind of messing with us. But over there, they were silver. You know, there were silver helicopters. But it's kind of interesting. But the... again, you know, the footage that they're getting there, very detailed, very solid. But now this latest one that he got, where it's actually a solid craft hovering. I don't know what he's named it, or I know you've analyzed that one. What did you take away from that analysis?
Which one was that? I've done quite a few. It's hard to keep up sometimes.
It's recent. It's pretty recent. and it's actually physical. It's a physical.
Is that the video footage I did?
Yeah, the video footage of that physical craft.
Yeah.
And you can get some pretty good detail out of that.
Yeah, well, obviously, when you bring in the analysis side and start to look into it in more depth and bring up the highlight and everything and the filters, etc., it's amazing that what you actually do see and what comes through. But the craft that analysed, it was the movement, the characteristics of it were very erratic. It was basically flying all over the place and zipping at high velocity from left to right. And the good thing about Peter's footage is he got a lot of foliage and trees, etc., in the shot. So it gives good perspective to the distance and relevant size, etc., of the sighting.
Yeah, I just filmed one last night that went behind the house and it went through the trees, and I got it going through the trees and actually behind the house, and big light ship, you know. So it gives a lot of perspective, you know, of what's happening there. Some of the other footage, I know I'd like to talk more about. What blew my mind was now I know exactly where he took that picture because I stayed in that room, and I spent a lot of time at their house. And so the picture that he got of CG, the Palladium that appeared to him, I thought was a mind blower. I mean, you can tell definitely it is.
Yeah.
There's a being there, and she's not fully physical.
No.
And it's pretty undeniable, you know. I what was your take from that?
Yeah, I'm like yourself. Amazing, really. It's another photograph that made me sit up and take notice. It was good. Soleta actually stood in the actual position that the photograph was taken, so I could do an overlap, like an overlay of two separate photographs to prove, and the size and everything of the, you know, the being that they actually photographed. And then another photograph he took, which was, this is before I actually knew Peter properly. I think it was part of his book that he brought out, but it was a close-up of the face of the being. Well, I managed to get that photograph, enhance that, and then when I overlaid that on the actual photograph of the being, who was it looked dimensional to me, really, but I managed to overlay it quite successfully, and it was mind blowing when you actually saw the finished photograph.
Mm-hmm. And when I was there, I experienced these beings, and we're having extreme telepathic contact. You can feel their energy and a lot of amazing experiences while I was there. And again, I saw so many ships there, and you know, we're meeting with the elders, you know, the king of the Raven tribe and all these guys, you know, during this little expedition we were on, and we're sitting there having a meeting with this guy, and the ship flies right over our heads and flies behind the trees, and we got it on film, you know, it on film too. But then we went up to Buffalo Mountain up there, and boy, just they were coming in one after another, you know, very low. And then Peter didn't even tell me. And we drove around the back of the mountain there, and there's a lake. And I turned around to him. I said, there's a base right in the mountain, right there, right in the mountain. I said, it's so strong. The energy's so strong coming from that thing. And he goes, I didn't tell you this, but this is where he was abducted. He actually had a missing time and an abduction there. And
oh, wow.
And they took him, and I was explaining the base. I said, it has multiple levels to it. And I had a vision of it. I could see it very clearly. And he said, that's exactly where, he goes, it sounds exactly where they took me and everything. So it's funny when you get these things validated, you know, because I didn't even know why I was telling him that stuff. I go, talking about this stuff, he's going to think I'm nuts, you know. And then I knew why afterwards when he told me what happened to him. But a lot of crazy stuff going on there in Australia.
It's amazing how things link up together, you know.
Yeah.
It's sort of a huge jigsaw puzzle, and everyone's the pieces together, and it's amazing how they link up.
Yeah, we did. I mean, I got a lot of information from the elders there, the Aboriginals. And what was interesting is they were talking about, they have stories, you know, and creation stories. And they talk about how Uluru and, that, you know, there's these big sacred mountains. They said they came from the sky and they came down, and they talk about, you know, their history, and they come from the stars. And what I found out is, and the Hawaiian elders have the same story. The Cherokee elders have the same, you know, some of the Lakota elders have the same story, and they all, a lot of them point to the Pleiades, you know, as their origin.
Yeah.
And then when I went to Gosford Cliffs, have you heard of Gosford Cliffs? Have you been there by any chance?
I haven't been there. No, I have heard of them.
Yeah, we went there, and that was quite a crazy experience energetically. But we automatically went the right way. There's people that didn't do ceremony, and they didn't do clearing and ask permission. They've gone up there, and they've actually died. They've got really sick and ill and died. You have to really respect this place when you go there. If you don't, you can have consequences. But, you know, they told us the certain way to go. And there's a shortcut, and right away we got, don't go, do not take that shortcut. And we went around the long way, and then we found out that shortcut is where that other person died, you know, where they were not, they were very much in their ego and not paying attention, you know, to what was going on. But wow. We went around, and they said there's guardians there. If the guardians are there, it's okay to go in and read the cliffs. And so when we went there, there was just two huge lizards right at the entrance of the cave. And I go, this is interesting. And I walked right up to them, and they didn't move. And I put my camera, you know, my phone camera, like, you know, a foot away, and took pictures of them. And they just sat there. And so we went inside, and we filmed it. You know, we filmed the different glyphs. And it tells the whole history of Earth. And it has several interactions, like with, it shows the ships coming down, the DNA transfer, the, you know, all that stuff that happened, and not once, but on a couple occasions. But, you know, it tells the whole history of Earth. It's all written in stone, but there's what they call them star glyphs, and then there's hieroglyphs, and it tells the story of two pharaohs coming there to get the technology, and then they died. Both pharaohs died because they lost the technology, or they lost the consciousness or something. But it tells the whole history of Earth there. And they actually have the pharaoh's bones and all that information. I got to actually hold the bones of one of the pharaohs. But it was quite, and I, you know, I'm sitting there looking at this, and, you know, written in stone, and it's all been analyzed, and Egyptian specialists in hieroglyphics were there. And they read the whole story, and it's pretty undeniable that, you know, the Earth has been colonized more on probably more than one occasion. And there was some resets and, you know, floods and pole shifts and startovers, you know, according to this, the history written on this rock.
It's amazing. It's all there. You go out and look and research, everything is there for you to see.
Yeah, and the interesting thing, I think it's Stephen and Evan Strong have, they have a website. I think it's Forbidden Archaeology or something like that, or Forgotten Archaeology. I've got to look that up again. But, you know, great information. They've done a lot of analysis and brought people out. And you know, the story goes that the first colonies that came here actually happened in Australia. And then they went from Australia to Egypt, you know, into Africa. And what's interesting is they find out the pharaohs, the gold-plated breasts and things like that, or the pharaohs, that the gold actually came from Ballarat in Australia. So, you know, so that really ties it together.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other information. And And also we found out too is that everybody on this planet has Aboriginal genes. We all have a certain degree of Aboriginal genes, which, you know, that also kind of ties in, you know, to the whole story. But I mean, there's just a lot of evidence that's pointing to Australia as being the first colonies, the first off-world colonies that were here. And then it goes on to Africa, and then it just keeps going on to another startup, it looks like, from the Pleiades after the pole ships that we, you know, they created Atlantis and Lemuria, and then the pole ships happened, and then they had to start over. So,
yeah.
But, you know, that's where the evidence is going on that. But I want to get back to this footage. I went off on a tangent there a little bit.
It's amazing. It's all amazing.
Yeah, but I know you've got, now you've been analyzing some of the, I'm not exactly sure what Peter sent you. I know I sent some things to Peter. Some of the last things I sent to him aren't as good quality. I'm working on getting the originals, which I will. And and I have actually a being from the Orion system. He looks just like us. And same thing. He's phased, kind of phased half in, half out. You can see pretty clearly. I have the original photograph of that. And right. I think I have the original photograph of Mary. And I know you analyzed the one from Mary. Let's go on to some of those, the photograph of Mary appearing. I'll give you a little story about how that happened. There was actually, he's a Taoist monk, and his name is Khan. And he was here, and he spends, you know, 21 days in dark retreats and caves, no food, just water. Very, very tapped in. You know, he can see the other dimensions and everything. And he was in one of my self-mastery classes, and I saw him get all excited, and he pulls out the camera and starts taking pictures. Well, right before that, everybody felt this energy come into the room, and the women were crying and everything. It was a very powerful experience. So I saw him getting all excited, takes a picture, and I said, okay, what do you got? And I walked back there, and I looked at it, and he didn't know who it was. Because he was a Taoist monk, he had no reference points, and he goes, "Who's this?" And sure enough, it was Mary coming in, and we already identified her energy coming in, and that the women were reacting to the energy very strongly because they're usually a little more sensitive than most men, and you know all of that. And then he takes the photograph, and I'm curious, what did you get from the photograph?
It looked again dimensional to me, but sort of manifesting, because I've heard of other cases. I've got numerous cases, obviously people I help that they obviously don't want their names mentioned or anything, so I'll just help them with what they're actually seeing or experiencing. But with the relation to the photographs, I've heard quite often that when extraterrestrials appear or in whatever shape or form to somebody who's experiencing it, they will actually put themselves across as something quite nice that they would not be threatened by. Because I had a friend who had experiences, and he said that he used to have an elephant come in his room, and the elephant used to walk in the door, and he used to, as a child, he used to like zoos and things like that. And he thinks that was the reason why he would see an elephant that would come through. And again, I don't know whether it's right or wrong or whichever way, but, you know, when Mary comes through, it's something that they think the person experiencing it would be, you know, more peaceful with.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not, just a little disclaimer, I'm not Catholic, and I'm not a religious person at all, but I'm a very spiritual person. And I do like the scientific analysis of things to validate, you know, some of the higher dimensional experiences. But what's interesting is you could really feel the energy signature there. And I know that the divine feminine energy is totally tied into the Pleiades, you know, the Pleiadians. And so, you know, to me, the jury's out, you know, in my own mind. I know what I experienced and what I thought happened there, but my mind is always open to, well, maybe it was something else, you know, but I can't deny the feeling that happened. and the reaction of the other women and the photograph, you know, it all is kind of pointing in that direction. And I don't think Mary, from my understanding, is not a religious person. She's a universal being. And I think she is operating on another dimension. And who knows, her origins could be from the Pleiades. You know, that's just from my own research, it all seems to be pointing, you know, in that direction that, you know, that some of these colonies here were, had Pleiadian, ancient Lyrian, they had some of the Orion genetics and things like that. You know, it all seems to tie together.
Mm, yeah, definitely.
But I always tell people my truth is flexible. You know, the more information comes in, you know, the more I'm always open to new information and
the more open you become. Yeah.
Exactly. Now you've got some other, now I'm not sure what you analyzed. I know you analyzed that one that just exploded. We call it the birthday video because it was on my birthday. I was meditating and I asked them, I said, all I want for my birthday is just fly over nice and low and say hi. And they did. They flew right over the house and then just expanded. Did you get that video? I don't know if you got that.
I'm still working on a couple of videos. I don't think I've done that one yet for you. I might not have done, but the there's one, I'm not sure you've ever finished it yet. There was a photograph and it looked like some sort of entity manifesting itself, sort of a cloud look to it. Did you get that one back?
I haven't yet. I think we did get it back. I haven't even had a chance to look at it. I just got back to the ranch, and so we're so busy here getting things.
Yeah.
The doors open and everything. I'll be taking a look at that really soon. Now that one there, I have the original, and I wanted to send you the original, but I took that off her iPhone. Kathy took that one, but that's the one I want to really get the original, and I think it's probably not 4K. I'm not sure what it is, but we've got
a higher resolution, definitely.
Yeah, we've got a lot of that footage. Actually, it is. It's actually a brand new camera that she took that on, but she transferred it. So I wanted to get the original photograph from that. I'll probably have that really soon.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Now, did you analyze? I guess you did analyze the one coming out of the mountain where it shot out of the mountain.
Yeah, that was a good piece of footage. Obviously, I think it was two people that witnessed that at the time.
Well, there's more. I'm not sure how many people were out. I know Peter filmed that one when he was here, and Sol Rita was with him, and I think there was a whole group of people out in the field at the time, but I'm not sure how many actually saw it.
Right. It definitely traveling at high velocity. It wasn't hanging around.
No. And I mean, you had to go slow it way down to actually even see it. And that's another phenomenon that we figured out here. There's a kid, Ryan, I think it's Ryan Wiener. I'm not sure what his last name is, but he came to the ranch and he put his camera on slow motion and he was filming the mountain and this ship comes right across, right in front of him and goes down through the valley and it turns around the trees way down at the other end of the valley and starts coming back. And so we've been playing with that, just filming the mountain in slow motion and you don't see anything with your eyes, just mainly because these things are moving so fast. But when you do it in slow motion, all of a sudden you see all these ships and objects zipping around that ordinarily you wouldn't see.
You wouldn't see them. That's more really going down the road of the electromagnetic spectrums where you can't actually see the craft, whether they're dimensional, multidimensional. It's the wavelengths that we can visibly see these things, so radio waves and microwaves, infrared, all those types of things. And you can go deeper again, ultraviolet, and the hard and soft X-rays and gamma rays, but with technology and cameras now, it's becoming so much easier to film craft. They're actually up there, and you know they want to be seen, especially infrared.
Yeah. Now we have that. We have a third generation military, and I was filming through that, and then I bought actually a white phosphorus third generation infrared to hook up, you know, the night vision to hook up straight into the camera.
Yeah.
And so I'm filming with that now. And so we do have a lot of that technology. And then we got some infrared spotlights, and we put them out in the field and lit the field up, and there's just orbs everywhere. It's insane. There's so many orbs here. But the ultraviolet, I've always felt that a lot of this here is happening in the ultraviolet range. But I don't have any equipment to film that. I'm not even sure how you would even get that. You might have a little more expertise on that note.
Not really, not in the minute, but it'd be certainly a good direction to go in to get as many different spectrums as you can, you know, photographed and captured.
Yeah, we have the PIP technology, you know, that kind of Harold Oldfield technology, and he came up here, not him, but one of his people came up, and they filmed the mountain, and there's more energy coming off Mount Adams than there is at Giza, you know, at the pyramids. It's amazing, the energy coming off that mountain. And he also filmed one of the sessions we do, the transpersonal release sessions, the counseling sessions. And you could actually see this huge golden vortex open up and come down, and the bodies pixelate out, you know, into light. Mm-hmm. And while we're doing the counseling work, and they filmed that, you know, validating that kind of work. But I really want to get more of this technology so we can actually see into these other dimensions. I'd really love to figure out some kind of a communication device that, so you could actually, other than just telepathy, you know, that where you could get, you could figure out some way to communicate with them. Actually, we did that. We had Clyde Lewis came out with this box, and it was the weirdest thing. It's this black box. I don't know if you've heard about that.
But I think I have. The people use them to talk to spirits and things.
Yeah. Well, he brought this back black box, and we hooked it up to the amplifiers and everything, and we had it on the speakers going over the to the room in the conference building, and we had quite a few people in there, and so all of a sudden we started getting communication through this box, which was really interesting, and. It was the bizarre thing about it was we had a German guy there, we had a Russian guy there, and they spoke Russian to this being, and it answered him back in Russian. And another guy spoke German, and it answered him back in German. And they said, "Are we going to have World War III?" The German guy goes, "Are we going to have World War III?" And he goes, "Net," you know, like, and he says, "No, you're not going to, it's not going to happen," you know, and, it was really interesting. They were giving a lot of information out, and they would talk in any language that you wanted them to. And so I thought that was pretty phenomenal. Yeah. That's a hard one. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how could they fake that? I mean, there's always a way to fake it, but
that's like the badge on Star Trek, where they can talk to anybody and they translate for them.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was, I know this box did not have that capability to translate and things like that. But they gave a lot of information, and they talked about big changes coming on the planet. And we're going to go through a little chaos, you know, but definitely there's no way around it. But they also were saying things like, you know, they've intervened on pole shifts and things like that. And they've actually brought the planet back when it was going to do a pole shift. But, you know, they have helped out quite a bit. And they made it very clear that they would not allow, you know, a nuclear exchange. They said that's off the books. It's not going to happen.
I've heard that too.
Yeah, and we asked them, so are you in touch with the major leaders on the planet? And they said yes. And they said, yes, we're working with them, and we're basically eradicating the low-level stuff, the things that shouldn't be here anymore that have interfered, you know, in our past history. So it's quite interesting. I think that's going to come out pretty soon.
Yeah, definitely. You know,
they can't really say that because everybody, I don't think the populace is ready for that yet, but there's been a lot of meetings with all the world leaders, and they weren't meeting on what people thought they were meeting. It's a much bigger picture, you know, happening there. I don't know, whatever footage, what else footage do you want to talk about that you've analyzed?
Oof, there's so much. I could have put so much in the book. I had to withheld quite a bit. I get sent footage all the time by people who have sightings, and a lot of it is misidentified. It's only a small percentage, I would say. But in ufology, I really don't think there are any real experts. I think we're all looking for answers the same, and we're all trying our best to come through. Maybe people are disciplined in certain knowledges and things like that, you know. But when it comes to the main ufology, I don't think there are experts.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the only thing that I'm coming from, I was not really into ufology. It wasn't my first choice. And I had a couple near death experiences. I crossed over, and you know, I know there is a God, you know, but it's not what people think. It's not. It doesn't have a beard or a laptop, and it's not taking notes with a lightning bolt in its hand, like a lot of the religions would like to do. But it's just more pure consciousness and energy, and like a golden light. And there's probably something beyond that. I don't know, but. After that experience, I was on an intense spiritual journey, studying with lamas and yogis and elders all over the world, and you know, getting their wisdom. And then all along that journey, I started having contact. And you know, I was contacting, having a telepathic exchange with these beings. And I thought they were like fifth dimensional, sixth dimensional beings. They actually were. And you know, the next thing they know, they told me they were on a ship and it was hovering over the house. And my sister saw the ship and everything. It was a light ship. But all of a sudden, I had to totally change my whole belief system and realize there was much more than, you know, ascended masters and angels and you know, whatever the other programs are going on, you know, that I had to kind of incorporate that into, you know, my spiritual beliefs, you might say. But I was mainly focused on healing, you know, helping people heal wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experiences, and you know, that was my main focus at the time. You know, but I couldn't deny, you know, what happened, and it just continued. It never stopped. It continued to happen.
All right.
And it's still happening, you know. So, yeah, we'll have to figure out a way to get you out here so you can bring all your equipment and have your own experience one day.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant. I get a lot of people contacting me with sightings and experiences, like I said, and I don't like really telling them that I sort of know what it is that I'm looking at. I mean, I was contacted a while ago through Philip Mantle, who's the publisher of the book, through top of my head, the Flying Disc Press. And he's ufologist and been in ufology for quite a number of years now. And he sent me two photographs, which he needed analysing. And they were actually taken by a civilian Brazilian pilot, airline pilot, and he'd been on holiday in the UK on vacation, and he took a photograph of a Union Jack. It was a Union Jack on a flagpole, and then later on, when he looked at the photographs, like many people do, they actually see something, And they look, actually, if you first impression looking at the photograph, they actually look like two discs of some description that are flying either side of the flagpole. So again, like I do with everything, I'll go into the analyzing of the photographs. When I actually zoomed in, enhanced the photographs and upscaled them and went through all the process, I could see that they were actually military fighter jets. Mm-hmm. And when you actually blew in even more, you could see that one was actually banking round to the left. One was an actual Tornado aircraft. So I put that in the book, which is just analysis of going through the process and what people see, just to say that, you know, you really have to take into account everything else that's happening around the location, weather events, other aircraft that might be in the flight path, etc. There's so much to rule out before you can actually come up with something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I like to be discerning. I have people send me things all the time, and they send me these photographs, and they're taking pictures into the sun. And they go, I have this green orb that follows me everywhere, you know. And I said, oh, it's a sun flare. It you can tell. Yeah. It's an anomaly.
Like the lens flare.
Yeah. And, you know, I see that all the time. And you don't want to burst their bubble, you know, in a way, yeah, or shut them down. But I kind of try to do it in a way. I go, well, you know, I'm not saying you're not having experiences. Keep trying. But this particular one, you know, looks to me like a lens flare, you know, but we get those all the time. And I had one guy taking pictures of streetlights, and he goes, look at this UFO and everything else. And then you enhance it, and you see the pole and the arcing, you know, the arcing pipe over to the streetlight. And, you know, he was trying to get me to just really go public and say, this guy's got the best and everything. And I looked at it and I said, no, that's a streetlight. You know, that's not a UFO. But, you know, we get a lot of that, here. And every once in a while we're fooled, you know, every once in a while somebody will say, I got this, and they have video and everything else. And we'll put it out there and I go, this looks really good. And then somebody will come back and go, oh, that's something out of a movie, that CGI or whatever. But I try not to even use anything like that anymore. I have a theory, if it's too good to be true, it probably isn't, you know, because.
Yeah. But because I've had that too. I've had that too, where people, and later on and after I've put something out, thinking quite rightly that, you know, it probably is a description. And I've actually, I'll be the first person to come out and say, I was wrong, and I will change it and say to people, it's not this. I was mistakenly wrong. It was this. And because you've got to keep it that way in ufology, you can't. There's so many hoaxes out there at the minute now on YouTube and Facebook, etc. It doesn't do any justice really to ufology and people who genuinely want to, you know, describe or look at craft, etc. You know.
Yeah, there's so much garbage out there, and I think they have a team of people doing that on purpose, just to muddy the water. And so, you know, I'm all for it. Now, Peter, I know, you know, his integrity levels are off the scale. He'd never fake anything. And he does have very good footage of solid craft, you know, detailed solid craft. But usually when you get that footage, you have to be really discerning. Most of the ships that we film here are always fuzzy because of the energy fields around the ships, you know, the
plasma energy field around the craft.
Yeah. And when you see something just crystal clear, you know, with all these, you know, appendages on it and everything else, you know, a good portion of those are CGI.
Yeah. I agree.
I've seen that over. But, I mean, some of these websites, and I won't mention any names, but I actually went on they interviewed me. I went on the show, and the whole thing I talked about was discernment and integrity, and and how we do an extreme disservice by putting things out there that are CGI and we don't investigate. And so it was funny because that's what they have on their site, a lot of that.
And, yeah.
And so I haven't even seen my interview. They probably canned it. You know, I said, "You sure you want me to come on your show?" And they said, "Yeah." I said, "Okay." But yeah, it was pretty funny. But the there is so much out there. You do have to be discerning. But I mean, again, too, there's some really good footage coming out. Like, we have pilots, we have air traffic controllers out here, triple PhD Boeing engineers, Lockheed. We have, people that know what they're looking at, and also people involved in the black projects, and they come out. We've had NASA come out here, but they can't talk about anything. They said, "I never came," and I can't use their name because they'll get in trouble. But we've had a lot of these guys actually go public. They went on the Art Bell show and things like that and have gone public about what they've seen here. But they, each case, they said, "You know, that's nothing known. That's nothing I know of. And we don't have anything that can move that fast, make a right angle turn, stop, zigzag, you know, and then just vanish, you know, disappear." Yeah. Or morph. We have one, I have some footage of one actually landing on the mountain and morphing into as many as three ships and back to one again. And then a jet came in and it disappeared and then it came back. It just popped back in again. It kind of led the jet off, chasing it in another direction. Then it just came back to what it was doing. But this footage, I took it to OMSI Planetarium. I think it's James Todd's his name. And I took it to all these NASA guy, you know, some guy way up there in NASA. And their conclusion was that it was the space station or the space shuttle. And that he goes, people are often mistaken that, you know, they see the space station and they're really excited. They go, "This is merely the space station." And I said, "Well, you know, don't you see a problem with that?" And they said, "What's that?" And I said, "It's landed. It's on the mountain." You know. And you know, that we had a news guy there too. I think he was with ABC. I'm not sure. We've had several news people come out here. Even Fox News has come out here. But and they did a pretty good job, but they sanitized it. They didn't show the really good footage. But
they do though here through the BBC.
But you know, when they aired this, they didn't put in the part, "Well, don't you see a problem with this? It's landed on the mountain." That never got in the footage, you know. And the guy, the reporter, never brought anything up like that. So they always leave it kind of ambiguous, or they show the really watered down stuff, the really good stuff they don't want to show.
It's surprising. Well, with the Tom DeLonge and To the Stars Academy at the minute, the footage they're releasing, and I've seen better footage myself. And I know it's gone through a chain of custody, and I do understand all that side to it. But I don't know, a lot of people are starting to question what they're actually doing.
Well, I questioned it right away when I saw all the same people behind it. You know, they get a new shiny star to put out in front, but, you know, it's all the same people. And it's been a controlled narrative for such a long time. And they don't want to cover, you know, it's like they're still trying to prove these things exist. Okay, who are they? Why are they here? Do they have technology that can help, you know, clean up the environment, healing technology? You know, nobody's asking those questions. And they're all still, Roswell still up in the big topic, and you go, "God, that was 60 years ago, wasn't it?" And you wonder when they're going to chill out, you know, and really bring out the real information. But I found out a lot of them don't even have it, because they haven't risen in consciousness, so they don't understand the big picture, and they are still trying to prove that there's something off world. That's as far as they've gone with it. We're unfortunately hitting the end of the hour here, so I'll have to sign off. But what's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
People need any help with any photographs, the door's always open. If people need to know what they're looking at or have things analysed, they can contact me through my pages, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, UF only. And I also write on quite an other number of pages and things like that, so they can generally get hold of me quite easily.
Great.
All right. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and keep up the great work. And thank you so much for analyzing, you know, some of our footage and Peter and Salrita's footage over there in Australia. And yeah. I think, you know, we're working on a project. I'll be in touch with you, and it's going to be a whole different project. I'm bringing this information out. So I'm sure we'll be in touch. And again, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me on, James. It's been a pleasure.
All righty. We got to sign off, unfortunately, folks. We're out of time. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. Keep an open mind, loving heart, pure intent. Watch the skies. A lot happening. Good night.